Now, too many see the protests as the problem. No, the problem is what forced your fellow citizens to take to the streets. Persistent and poisonous inequities and injustice. And please, show me where it says that protests are supposed to be polite and peaceful.
Hey everyone, Andres off the record. This is the first episode I do on January 7th after the calamity that was January 6th. I have some thoughts that I want to expand upon from what I reacted to yesterday. My position on the rioting and violence remains unchanged. I condemned it wholeheartedly. And there is something I clipped out of my reaction video that I'm kind of wishing I kept in. And I will touch on that later as I discuss things in this video. I don't want this video to be too long, but I got quite a few clips to show you to give you perspective of what the mainstream media has not been telling you or won't tell you because the world over has seen what's gone down and a lot of them have their own conclusions. And when CNN is probably the only news network that's sharing this information outside of this country, then of course they're only going to get one side of the story, to which there are many. But let's talk specifically about what went down yesterday in terms of the chaos and calamity that yours truly had mentioned in previous episodes. I even did two episodes in early December talking about just that. One even called the pressure cooker and powder keg. I actually watched for myself last night. I'm like, wow, to the T. Everything that I said on that one, it happened. So look at the video I played for you at the beginning, that from the CNN clip of Chris Cuomo, that basically says it all, that 1,000 officers injured or maimed, over 35 people dead, and what is it, billions of dollars in property damage done. BLM riots, not yesterday, BLM riots, that was condoned. And the video of Chris Cuomo, the clip from Chris Cuomo, is a summary of how all the media was reacting to, defending all of that. But then what went down yesterday, four people dead, three from medical emergencies, one shot in cold blood, a 14-year veteran of the United States Armed Forces from San Diego, very close to where I live. And I have friends in the Air Force, so they were lamenting that too. Unarmed, killed by either security in the Capitol building or the police, but no one's complaining about that. In fact, we had CNN saying it was wrong of them not to show the aftermath, to see the person dying. And we had our talk show host that was talking about before the shooting that protesters need to be shot, and then it happened. He says good that she deserved it. Why? Because she was just standing there doing nothing and gets shot. Like I said, I condemn the violence and protests and rioting, the violent protesting and rioting by BLM and Antifa, just as I did for what happened yesterday. And we're going to go over some of the details there. But I want to share this clip with you from Representative Gates that kind of discusses all this.
One of the first things we did when the House convened today was to join together to extend our grace and our kindness and our concern for a colleague who has experienced just an insurmountable amount of grief with his family. And I want all of our fellow Americans watching to know that we did that because we care about each other and we don't want bad things to happen to each other. And our heart hurts when they do. Now, I'm sure there are plenty of folks over there who don't like me too much, and there are a few of you that I don't care for too much, but if anybody had been hurt today, it would have been even more of a catastrophe than we already saw, and I think that's an important point for the country. Another important point for the country is that this morning, President Trump explicitly called for demonstrations and protests to be peaceful. He was far more, you can moan and groan, but he was far more explicit about his calls for peace than some of the BLM and left-wing rioters were this summer when we saw violence sweep across this nation. Now, we came here today to debate, to follow regular order, to offer an objection, to follow a process that is expressly contemplated in our Constitution. And for doing that, we got called a bunch of seditious traitors. Now, not since 1985 has a Republican president been sworn in, absent some Democrat effort to object to the electors. But when we do it, it is the new violation of all norms. And when those things are said, people get angry. Now, I know there are many countries where political violence may be necessary, but America is not one such country. Now, we should seek to build America up, not tear her down and destroy her. And I am sure glad that at least for one day, I didn't hear my Democrat colleagues calling to defund the police.
So here's Representative Gates suggesting, along with other Republicans, that Antifa was behind the violence. I want to bring some clarity to this because there's truth and there's also more information that's come out since a lot of this transpired. Let's start with the most famous shot. The guy, the horn helmet dude. This is from the Arizona Central. As you can see him there, he was the one that was bare-chested standing over where the Speaker of the House and the Vice President would, were standing, and he was there, you know, just happy. The guys to his on the left side of your screen, so to the right of this dude, those dudes were pictured with Antifa in Philadelphia last year. As for the horn guy, he is QAnon or QAnon, whatever the heck that is. He's actually a professional actor. He was part of some climate strikes last year in Arizona. He was also photographed with BLM marching with rallying with BLM in Washington, D.C. June last year. So that's something I shared yesterday. But I don't know what he was doing with individuals from Antifa, or allegedly Antifa. They were photographed in Philadelphia Antifa. So I don't know if that's a chapter thing or whatever, but yeah, there he is. But then there was also Nick Fuentes, who's considered an extreme right wing. He was pictured inside the Capitol building as well. He had stormed it in, or storming it. That's the terminology they're using. But yeah, he was inside along with some other individual. I forget his name, but I don't care. I shouldn't even be giving them any press. They were in there too. Those are Trump supporters. So yes, there were bad apples mixed in with these other really bad individuals, for which is what it gave a bad name, to which I will get to in a moment, because whatever they try to achieve, whatever they're trying to hope for, the optics did not work in their favor. Whatever they attempted ruined it for everybody else and hurting who they thought they were supporting, which again, I'll get to in a bit. So let me just start closing some of these tabs because I have too many open. Okay. All right. So this is a question that I have about some of the stuff that went down, because I was watching this live. I watched it from 8 a.m. to about 5:30 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. So when I have family and friends and sending me individual clips, 5-30 second stuff, or maybe a sound bite or whatever, I'm like, are you freaking kidding me? I'm watching the whole thing and I got all the context and things. Oh, as expected, the media is taking it out of context. There's some things though that I did find interesting because it was a question of what transpired for the storming. There were reports of police being overwhelmed. There were some cases where Trump supporters did clash with police. And I don't know how much of it had to do because of what happened the prior day with the police turning on Trump supporters macing them and all that. But there was also this that happened that I want to share with you.
Police are squabbling with protesters. Oh, there we go. And they just breached the Capitol again.
How did they breach when the gates were literally opened? The barriers were removed to let them in. How is that breaching? So that's what I was confused about, because that's what I saw. I saw a bunch of people standing on the Capitol waving flags and chanting and whatever. And I know there's some individuals that stormed the place. But some of the storming had questions too. Like this one.
Take the ball, take it.
context of this, where they're saying that police and Antifa were in on the infiltration of Trump supporters, and DC police showed Antifa the way to the cap into the Capitol building. It's weird because there's a longer clip of this. Some people are calling it a psyop. Look, I'm only delivering the news here of what I've seen. I can't definitively say one way or another, but it looked, if you see the entire clip, which is about 1.5 to 2 minutes long, it's odd because it almost looks staged or fabricated. It's trying to scour the internet right now. Things are being scrubbed. It's a lot more difficult to find information, but I'm just pointing out what looked weird. Because if you're storming and overwhelming a police officer, why did one guy literally hold a bunch of people back, and why were doors open in the first place? And technically, the end of the clip that's not on this one is that he leads him right into a hallway, and the cops are just there waiting, and they just stand around in the hallway, like, and that's where it cuts off. The one that shot this is supposed to be a Huffington Post photojournalist. And I have my issues with Huffington Post, but I'm not trying to claim one thing or another. I'm just saying that this looked interesting. And then we move on to this. This is something that you're not going to hear because there were Antifa among them that were infiltrating. So, and this is what happened in one of those cases. They're saying, and they're telling Antifa to stop. There's multiple views of this. I don't know if it was one or two individuals that were there, but there was a scuffle. It's not entirely captured on this one. But yeah, that's stuff that they're not seeing in CNN. So what exactly all went down is still going to be investigated. But the optics and the damage is done. As there's a portion, I think I might have mentioned it in this recording, that I clipped out of my original recording that I put up for my reaction. I say, because now with what happened, the optics look bad, and the bad apples mixed in with the false fat perpetrators or provocateurs, they basically gotten rid of everything that could have supported the look into the election integrity, if you will. But now we have what I expected might happen is this, that now we have the Speaker of the House, they're drafting articles of impeachment, but that's in reaction to the demands on Pence and the cabinet to invoke the 25th Amendment to remove Trump from office, even though there's 13 days left of his presidency. But they want to remove him already and make Pence the president for the remainder of the term. This is if anyone that claimed to be a Trump supporter was intending to help Trump, you didn't help him. You made things worse for him. Because the optics are like this, that Trump organized a mob. He led them to the Capitol building because he marched with them. And that he was trying to cause an act of insurrection in attacking a democratic process because he believed his election was being stolen from him. That's the narrative. And you can try to debunk it as much as you can. The optics are not in your favor, especially with all those in power and with the GOP, most of them literally abandoning Trump, as we have mass resignations of staff and cabinet members planned. And his own cabinet members, as of yesterday, discussing the removal of the president through the 25th Amendment. So whatever hopes that any of you had to contest the election went out the window as soon as that happened. And what you left in place now is the encouragement for the massive restrictions on the First Amendment to basically almost remove it, the elimination of the Second Amendment, not to mention that you've given big tech reason to silence anyone that would dare speak a different tone or perspective than what they consider approved. I mean, look what big tech did in taking down the video that Trump, where he called for peace and told people to go home. They took it down because they said that's inciting violence. And as of today, depending on who you read, Facebook and Instagram, which is the same thing, have banned Trump, not just for the remainder of the term, but supposedly forever. So it depends on who you read. And I'm sure Twitter is going to follow suit. I think some of his stuff is still on YouTube, but they're supposedly going to remove it from YouTube. I wouldn't be surprised. Snapchat is the same. We have a lot of these online shopping, e-commerce websites that have taken down anything Trump stores, Trump campaign items, so they can't do any e-commerce there. This is the result. You've emboldened them and encouraged them to do so. So that's what I was warning about in the video, and I clipped out the audio from it. And that's what is sad about this whole thing, that it's come down to this. I actually told a friend on November 4th, he and I are political opposites on this, but we were able to have cordial conversations. I told him, dude, it doesn't matter which way this election ends up ending when it eventually the dust all settles. This is going to be crazier than the ending of The Mountain versus the Viper in Game of Thrones. Those of you who know what I'm talking about know what I'm referring to. And a few days leading up to this, I share with my wife, who doesn't like anything violent or stuff like that, and I share with her a clip from Game of Thrones from season one where Eddard Stark goes to confront Cersei Lannister in the throne room regarding who is King Regent and who should be stepping up. And I guess, spoiler alert, or I shouldn't tell you, but what happens, whatever, I'm going to tell you anyway. It's a betrayal. That's the one of the first major shocks of the show, of the story. And I told my wife, based on everything that I've seen happen in recent days, I said, this is what I anticipate occurring on January 6th. And that's exactly what happened. And it's sad. It really is sad that it had to come down to this. I'm going to be sharing more thoughts about all this. So I'll call it anatomy of a disaster or an obituary to the first Trump term. But you have to understand that the extreme talk about this 25th Amendment stuff is not just to remove Trump, but also ban him from ever running again for president. So that means if you're thinking 2024, they're trying to put that blockade in already. So what were you hoping to achieve now? And on top of that, defense secretaries, the former defense secretaries, are talking about even exiling Trump from the United States. It's insanity. A lot of it's the hypocrisy of the left knows no bounds. They're scared of COVID for you, but not for themselves. They are appalled at what happened yesterday, but watched as the nation's capital burned with Black Lives Matter was there, destroying vehicles, setting buildings on fire, graffiti everywhere, bringing down statues. But remember, it was yesterday that was horrible. Yesterday resulted in 4 deaths, 3 from medical deaths. One of them was a United States Air Force 14-year veteran that was shot point-blank range by either a Capitol police officer or security. And no one is really talking so much about that. Ashley Babbitt, that's her name, from San Diego. I have friends down there that were talking about it to me today. So, yeah, those are my thoughts on all this. It's a travesty that this is the way it ends, but questions will remain, which I'm sure will be discussed for a long time, not just about the election, but specifically how this went down. Because the timing of the storming of the Capitol building was convenient, to say the least, when the Arizona electoral votes were being challenged by Senator Ted Cruz and several House representatives. We were supposed to hear in public for the first time the evidence why it's being challenged. That's why the rally Trump spoke for so long, because he was presenting it there. So those that were watching, because he knew they were going to be watching, he was reiterating all his case for why he believes that this election was stolen / rigged. And quite honestly, more than 50% of Americans believe it. I'm not talking about the ones that just voted for Trump. I'm talking about Democrats. Even they admit, like, yeah, I believe this thing was rigged. So with all that being said, questions that will not be answered anymore, because after this, call it what you want, traitors or spineless Republicans, but the optics looked bad for why Trump lost any and all support that was gaining up until January 6th and abandoned immediately in a span of an afternoon. That's why there were no more challenges. They just wanted to get it over with, get Biden in there, and come what may, whatever. So now the question is, who on earth is going to want to continue listening to any case that Trump would have that the election was stolen from him? Or what investigations will there ever be, unless there's braver Republicans that are going to do it? But in mass, in the meanwhile, you're going to have a bunch of Republicans and Trump supporters that feel betrayed, leaving the party. So my question is, what was to be gained from what was done yesterday? The bad apples ruined it for everybody. The very fear that you all had, you stoked it. But Andres, protesting, yes, protest, not the violent part, not the raiding and the interruption of the electoral challenge. What did you think was going to be achieved? Let me digest this some more, okay? I don't want to go off too long on this. Before I let you go, though, let me close this out. Expect this to be next, and I might have to do some interruptions on the clip, as much as I love it and I let it play, but my video could be taken down, so I'll be interrupting it. This from V for Vendetta. Alan Moore is a great author, but he always vilifies one side, not knowing that the one that's actually guilty of what he's complaining about happens to be the left-wingers every time he's complaining. Because V for Vendetta was an allegory against Margaret Thatcher's England. This is going to be United States.
Our story begins, as these stories often do, with a young up-and-coming politician. He's a deeply religious man and a member of the Conservative Party. He's completely single-minded and has no regard for the political process. The more power he attains, the more obvious his zealotry, and the more aggressive his supporters become.
I know what you're thinking. He's talking about Trump. Trump was never a deeply religious man. And no, he didn't use the military. Although, again, optics. But let's proceed. Keep listening.
Eventually, his party launches a special project in the name of national security. At first, it's believed to be a search for biological weapons, and it's pursued without regard to its cost. However, the true goal of this project is power, complete and total hegemonic domination. The project, however, ends violently. But the efforts of those involved are not in vain, for a new ability to wage war is born from the blood of one of the victims.
Imagine a virus, the most terrifying virus you can, and then imagine that you and you alone have the cure.
Huh. A virus so deadly that only you have the cure. Best keep watching, folks.
But if your ultimate goal is power, how best to use such a weapon? It's at this point in our story that along comes a spider. He is a man seemingly without a conscience, for whom the ends always justify the means, and it is he who suggests that their target should not be an enemy of the country, but rather the country itself. Three targets are chosen to maximize the effect of the attack: a school, a tube station, and a water treatment plant. Several hundred die within the first few weeks.
That Three Waters has in fact been contaminated.
Authorities are attempting to control its deadly spread.
Sent a wave of destruction throughout the underground.
Fueled by the media, fear and panic spread quickly.
Fueled by the media.
dividing the country until at last the true goal comes into view. Before the St. Mary's crisis, no one would have predicted the results of the election that year, no one. And then not long after the election, lo and behold, a miracle. Some believed it was the work of God himself, but it was a pharmaceutical company controlled by certain party members that made them all obscenely rich. A year later, several extremists are tried, found guilty and executed while a memorial is built to canonize their victims. But the end result, the true genius of the plan, was the fear. Fear became the ultimate tool of this government, and through it, our politician was ultimately appointed to the newly created position of High Chancellor. The rest, as they say, is history.
Moral of the story? Is that what is currently happening? I gotta tell you, it sounds eerily familiar. It's a movie that's worth checking out, even though it's an anti-conservative film. Flip it on its head in today's political environment, and you'll find it very, very interesting, very timely, very telling. But anyway, that's it for this episode of Off the Record. Thank you so much for watching. I'm Andres. Check out my stuff at www.theandresacopa.com. As I mentioned before, in the show notes accompanying this episode there, you'll be able to see other video references that I embed into the show notes. Still, because you'll be able to find anything that I reference, so check it out for yourself. And you can also follow me across the socials for now while they're available. The links are also available on my website. And I am on YouTube for my main show, which is the Andres Segovia Show. I talk about real estate, tech, and life. And more of that stuff is coming. But anyway, I appreciate you. Thank you again. And I'll see you on the next one.